The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, it's always a pleasure to welcome political correspondent for the Irish Farmers Journal, Pat O'Toole, a good Wexford man, joins me on the line because farm incomes and the official independent statistics, it's not just whinging farmers, independent statistics from Chagas reveal for 2023 an incredible low level of average earnings and a steep drop on 2022. The worst sectors being milk farmers, dairy farmers, and of course with the bad harvest, tillage and cereal farmers. Welcome, Pat. How are you?
Good, thanks, Matt. Getting over my fifth bout of COVID, but otherwise can't complain.
Jesus, you called me Matt. I mean, like, how low can you go with
you
an
go.
Insult?
I mean, sorry, I was a bad start.
That's okay. Well, he was in studio here. It's easy getting confused.
He was. I was
at my age,
I
make that mistake all the time. Give me the scores
you're
on the door.
Inseparable.
Yeah, scores on the doors for farm incomes in 2023 from Chagas.
Not just Chagas, because our own Lorcan Roach Kelly has reported on the CSO figures, which are computed in a completely different way, but have come to the same conclusion. So the average farm income, around 16,500. The biggest drop was in dairy farm incomes, but that was off the back of, and we have to recognise this, incomes yo-yo, and 2022 was a bumper year. It was a record year in terms of high incomes. So it was inevitable that there would be a drop, but it's the scale of the drop. So dairy incomes dropped from 150,000, which was literally a windfall from milk prices going to 60 cent a litre from their normal 35 cent a litre. So dairy incomes went down to under 50,000. And that sounds like a good income, and it is a good income, but very significant costs on most dairy farms. They've spent an awful lot of money over the last 10 years as the sector has expanded by 50% with the removal of quotas, which had prevented any expansion for three decades. Tillage farmers saw their incomes collapse by 71%. Tillage farmers, on average, only made 21,500 last year. Sheep farmers fared even worse. The average sheep farmer is making 12,500. The average beef finisher making about 15,000. And the average suckler farmer only 7,500. Now, we have to acknowledge that significant proportions of those farmers are part-time, and that's reflected. But the Chagas National Farm Survey doesn't lop off about 50,000 or 40,000 farmers that they regard as economically insignificant in terms of the statistics. Not that they're insignificant in terms of what they produce or in their lives, but that they have other income streams and that their farming is not their main level of support.
And do those figures include the subsidies they get?
Yes, they do. When you take the subsidies out, the dry stock sector, that's farmers who are raising animals other than dairy farmers, they're losing money. Dry stock farmers are losing money. And tillage farmers are barely breaking even when you remove all the subsidies. So the marketplace is not returning an income to farmers at all.
So what do you want to see done? I mean, like, one of the striking features of all this is the decline. You know, there used to be, not so long ago, 170,000 farmers. Now, what is there, 16,000 dairy farmers and best, you know, a lot of part-time farming in dry stock and so on. There's less votes, less farming votes. Like, what, we have an election coming up. What are you looking for?
Well, not so much. I suppose the farm organisations have a long list of asks, but at the moment in Budapest, there's a three-day conference on the future of the common agricultural policy. And if you look at the macro, I mean, everybody is a food consumer. Everybody eats. So food production is hugely important. It's the flip side of food consumption. It's also a huge exporting industry. Over 10.5 billion of revenue driven by farm production last year, and that's just where it's at farm gate level. When you process that, it goes up significantly again, and our food exports are a very significant part of our economy. So it is important that farming is viable, and at the moment farming isn't viable. there's very little that government can do. Being on, there's an awful lot of small things government can do, but the fundamentals aren't working. Farmers are living in a first world economy with first world costs, first world demands as regards carbon footprint, environmental concerns around the way we produce our food. So there's restrictions on how we work, and that's necessary and that's right. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that that should be rolled back on. But what I am saying is that that comes with a cost. And we're working, selling commodities at world prices. So first world farmers getting third world prices. And that's not just a problem in Ireland. It's a problem right across the developed world that farmers are going slowly broke.
But I get the problem. I'm just not hearing from you, Pat. What's the solution?
Oh, if I knew what the solution was, I wouldn't be here talking to you, Ivan. I'd be over in Budapest. But one of the significant problems is the gap has to be filled. We have half a dozen retailers. We have less than 100 processors and 130,000 farmers, still farm families, filling out their applications for the basic income support system every year, which monitors everything farmers do. So it's still a very lopsided system. We have still over 12 million farmers across the EU and still that handful of retailers who are funneling all the food through their stores to the consumer. So the profits are being retained within the food chain by processors and by retailers. Consumers would say they're paying enough for food, not enough of it's going back to the farmer.
In real terms, yeah. You were telling me that over the last 25, 30 years, the Common Agricultural Policy has not actually increased its resources.
Not at all. When you were Minister for Agriculture in the mid-90s, when Ray McSharry was the Commissioner bringing about reforms in 1992, there were only 12 member states in the EU. The cap budget he was working with was over 48 billion euros. The cap budget now per year for the whole of Europe, which is now 27 member states with three times as many farmers, the cap budget is only 52 billion euros a year. It's a huge amount of money, but the cap has been static, even though the demands have increased massively, the asks of farmers have increased massively, food prices have not risen with inflation, and the cap has all the environmental concerns which it's addressing, as well as food production and the rural development aspect of maintaining numbers so we have vibrant rural economies. Because while the cap could be called a failure, if you look at the United States or Australia or New Zealand, you see huge farms, big ranches and very dispersed rural communities. You wouldn't have GA clubs in those countries in rural areas because they don't have the population. Rural schools don't exist the way we have them in Ireland or across Europe. So it's worth fighting for. Our rural population is still quite dependent economically and socioeconomically on agriculture and on the agri-food sector. So it's worth fighting for. Do I have answers? No, but we'll keep asking questions.
All right, Pat O'Toole, political correspondent of the Farmers Journal, fearlessly on the side of farmers, talking about life down on the farm and how their incomes in the last 12 months have dropped rapidly. Now-
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.